Hey, good morning, church. How are we this morning? Good. Good to see you. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Man, thank you, worship team, this morning for leading us into the presence of God. That was beautiful and sets us up perfectly this morning for what we're going to talk about, which I'm really excited about. It's going to be good. Before I forget, I want to go ahead and release the kids this morning for Revolution Kids. We are so glad that you are here. Miss Debbie's waiting for you there at the top of the steps. You guys are going to go and have some good time together this morning. Yeah. Good morning. My dad's here. He surprised me. Hi, Dad. Good morning. He's probably looking around going, where's the rest of your family? All right. Oh, that was good. Good to be together. So we are continuing this morning in our teaching series on connections, looking at these different ways sort of that we can remain tethered to God and to one another in really challenging, chaotic, uncertain times, which is really just what life usually is. We never know what tomorrow has in store, but in this particular season, talked about the first week of this series, that psychological concept of our surge capacity, you know, sort of a place that we go to for to make it through like survival mode of a short-term emergency state. We've now been in that for going on like 19, 20 months, right? And so when that just keeps being depleted again and again, oh, some old practices that maybe keep us grounded in our spiritual lives, they just... we're tired, we're worn out, we're exhausted. So revisiting again some connections, some pathways that we have to God and to one another to ground us during difficult times. And really in hopes of sort of renewing our souls, sort of that sense of just peace through it all. Reconnecting with God and with one another to renew our souls. Not just about renewing our surge capacity, but in a spiritual sense. How can we feel that sort of renewal of our mind, body, and soul with Jesus Christ? And looking as a community of faith, some old practices, some old maybe habits that used to work but maybe aren't working the same as they used to, and trying to experience them in new and creative ways. So the first week of this series, we just considered the tradition of the church. Sort of World Communion Sunday, and the simple reminder that there are brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world who hold the same confession as us: Jesus Christ is Lord. On some days, it's just helpful to know that you're not alone, that there are other people trying to walk this journey of faith, this some days feeling like uphill battle of discipleship, walking this narrow road of faith in other times, in other places, in other contexts, in other cultures, that all share the same confession: Jesus Christ is Lord. Last week, we looked at worship as a connection to God, and not just as an hour, but as space that transforms us so that we can live lives marked by worship and all that we do to glorify God. Many of you were here. We were out back in beautiful creation. We had our worship service outside, and it was refreshing for me. I hope it was. I hope it was for you. Worship as a practice that draws us out of ourselves so that we can be transformed to the point where we offer all that we have to God in lifestyles of worship. And we talked about how that is actually our true and proper worship. And so this week, it sort of follows right on the tails of that, the process of worship and God drawing us outside of ourselves so that we can be transformed by his grace. We looked at Romans 12, verses 1 through 2. We're going to follow right up with that same process. The connection we're going to look at this morning is simply prayer and how that creates space for us to be transformed and renewed in the presence of God. Now, I know you're probably thinking, oh, this is pretty obvious, Rachel. Like, it's pretty basic, prayer. And I could go through all kinds of different types of prayer. That could be a whole series on the power of prayer. It's a mystery of our faith, but, you know, maybe some theories of how it works and why it feels like maybe sometimes it doesn't work. And could go through petitions and intercessory prayer and the power of corporate prayer as a church, the importance of praying for one another, talk about praying the psalm, all these different types of prayer. But this teaching isn't supposed to be sort of an exhaustive how to pray. It's not meant to be an exhaustive list of all these different ways. What I would like to do this morning is maybe remind us of an ancient practice of prayer that I hope can be a creative way we experience it to refresh and renew our souls for this moment. I've talked to many of you that have said, man, the old ways that I've been praying are just not working right now. Or I've talked to some of you that are just sort of dissatisfied by your prayer life, or you feel like, oh gosh, I really don't do it very. Maybe you're already sitting here feeling guilty because you're like, man, I know it's not something I do as often as I should, and that's why I'm feeling this way, like stuck in a rut. I want to absolve you of all guilt this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, right, who is our great high priest. I think we sometimes think about prayer all wrong in that sense, that it's supposed to look like a particular way, a particular amount of time, and if you don't do it and if you don't check that box, then what? You're not going to get into heaven, right, Vance? Vance came in this morning and he said, I'm doing anything I can to get into heaven. And I said, Vance, you know that's not how it works. We're not here for works righteousness. Sometimes, even though we know that, we treat our prayer lives as something to check off the list. And it's good to have petitions. It's good to intercede for one another. It's good to pray for one another. But if our prayer list just becomes a laundry list of needs, what we do is we create God as sort of this pie in the sky, sort of dispenser, like vending machine. Like, I'm just going to put in the dollar. I'm going to put in the prayer for this amount of time, and God's just going to dispense out blessings. And we know when I say it that way that that's not how it works. And yet, sometimes, that's how we approach it in our daily rhythms of prayer. And so I want to sort of remind us of an ancient tradition of prayer that I think is going to call us back to the heart of simply dwelling in the presence of the divine. And this type of prayer is simply called contemplation or contemplative prayer. I'm going to share a lot of information with you. I don't think it's going to lead us into a meditative sleepy state, but I'm also not going to lead us in contemplation, but I'm going to show you sort of how it works, and then I hope give you the resources that you need to begin maybe experimenting with this practice on our own. But what I want you to hear from the beginning is that this is, you're absolved of all guilt. We all have different sort of temperaments and rhythms in our spiritual life. We all need to find a practice or a habit of prayer that works for us. And we shouldn't feel like it needs to be a when and a how and amount of time, right? I also think you could give yourself sort of grace and freedom to experiment with different types of prayer. And even within contemplation, you can experiment with different ways of contemplative prayer. Okay, so this is going to be based on Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I think we can all agree this morning that we want to experience that kind of peace, a peace that guards our hearts and minds, a peace that surpasses all understanding, a peace of God that is always with us, like we sing about it, we know it's true, Emmanuel, God with us, and when we're here and man, the Spirit is moving, like we know that, but tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, sometimes it doesn't always feel like God is ever present and with us. We don't feel that connection. And so contemplative prayer is one way that we can feel that peace of God that surpasses all understanding. I got ahead of myself, a little excited. Before I forget, I want to remind you before the end of the teaching so that you have time to mentally prepare, especially if you are worshiping online right now, welcome. We are having a prayer walk after the service at noon today. I think it is going to be beautiful. I just hope the trail is not wet. We're going to go check that out. So we're going to meet at Beckley Creek Park at the pavilion by the Eglon there at 12 p.m. at noon. So we'll leave here, maybe grab lunch. Welcome to take it there and eat together. If you're worshiping at home right now, you have time to make plans to join us. You'll have two options. This is going to be a creative way I'm offering you to experience contemplative prayer in nature through a prayer walk. There'll be two options. Both are about half a mile, but you can kind of go at your own pace in your own way. One's paved, one is not. But it won't take very long, okay? So it's going to be fun. I'll tell you more about that at the end, but make plans now if you'd like to join us. Just a reminder. In this passage of Scripture, Philippians 4, you can hear how we can kind of switch into that, do these things, and you will receive this. Like if you just stop being anxious and you start praying about all things, then God will give you peace, right? If you think about all of these things, what is true and commendable and good, then the peace of God will be with us. Oversimplified, but here is how contemplative prayer can kind of draw us back to connection and transformation in the presence of the divine, okay? Simply by growing in awareness of God's presence. That's sort of the overall goal, but I'm going to share with you a few things about what contemplation is. Simply the ongoing discipline of seeing events and people and issues through the lens of sort of a God consciousness. Again, being aware of God's presence that is with you. So you practice letting go of personal agendas, of anger, of fear, of judgments. And in the empty space created by this release, we invite God to speak and we seek to listen. This is a type of prayer that has roots in Christian wisdom tradition or Christian mystics, sort of the ancient church. And this is how one author, Susan Beaumont, describes it. You also see it in the catechesis in the Catholic Church. Some of you may remember this, those that were raised Catholic. It's a form of wordless prayer in which mind and heart focus on God's greatness and goodness and effective, loving adoration, to look on Jesus and the mysteries of his faith, of his life, with faith and love. So it is simply a type of prayer that's supposed to sort of orient us into the presence of God, that seeks not so much a list of petitions and intercessions, but it seeks to remind us and make us aware of the divine presence that is always with us through making space. Okay, so I'm going to kind of walk us through how it sort of works, that we make space for this to sort of happen in our lives, making room for Jesus. It begins by practicing silence, breathing deeply, centering our thoughts, where we just pause and be still. Some of us, this makes us really nervous. But to begin, and many of you maybe already do this, but just to begin your time of prayer by just slowing down, focusing on your breath, breathing deeply. This is the etymology of the word, and what I appreciated about this throughout its use is that it's always had sort of religious grounding in this idea of contemplation, the act of looking at, to gaze attentively, to observe. My favorite, though, is it says to mark out space for observation. And then later in the 14th century, reflection, thinking, thought, holding an idea before the mind. Making space. That's what I appreciate about this. It's making space for God to show up and to speak to us, for us to listen. And because life is so chaotic and busy, if we don't sort of slow ourselves down and the anxieties of our mind and breathe deeply, we might miss, it's kind of the heart behind it, we might miss what God is trying to speak to us in a moment. Richard Rohr says this, the point of emptiness is to get ourselves out of the way so that Christ can fill us up. As soon as we kind of create that space and emptiness in our day, in our heart, and our mind, there's a place for Christ there. We can make room for Jesus, to recognize and accept him in our midst. So that kind of leads us to the second sort of process of this, is to practice detachment. That's what Susan Beaumont said, the practice of letting go of our agendas, our anger, our fear, that we're not seeking, you know, prayer for God to get our own means to our own end, but we're seeking just to dwell in the presence of the divine. And this is also not to beat ourselves up. Sometimes our minds wander and we get distracted and our anxieties are right before us. I'll be honest, the reason that I struggle with this form of prayer is because I sit there and I go, I'm not accomplishing anything right now. I'm not doing anything. I don't have time to not do anything. You guys know I've got two young kids. We have a busy life. And there are some days when I sit there and go, okay, I don't have time for it not to be productive. And then it reveals the state of my heart, right? The state of my own sort of practice of detachment. The reminder that I need to hear is that my worth is not found in what I accomplish in a day. My worth is not found in what I can check off a list for Jesus. My worth is found in simply being a daughter of the King, in simply existing, in simply being me, redeemed and set free. And when I remember that, I feel a sense of peace. I feel a sense of peace. So it's not to beat yourself up about when you get distracted and I sit there and I think of my to-do list, but to sort of practice contemplation of going, okay, that I'm naming that anxiety. And I'm reminding myself that I'm not found there. I'm naming that I'm anxious about a schedule I've got to figure out. I'm anxious about getting my kids acclimated to a new daycare. I'm anxious about, and while I am a pastor and a mother and a wife, I can sort of look at these anxieties and not detach from those roles, but seek first being a disciple of Jesus Christ. And maybe another word for detachment is sort of a surrender. You name the anxiety. You surrender it to God. You remember who you are. That's number three. Remembering who you are as you practice letting go of whatever it is. For me, it's a lot of anxiety. For you, it may be anger. It may be frustration. It may be exhaustion. We've made space for Christ. We're breathing deeply. We name what's before us and distracting us so that we may detach and surrender, so that we can hear the truth that you are good. You are enough because you are created in the image of Divine Father who loves you. At the beginning of the day, before you've accomplished anything, we experience an unconditional love that is so fleeting in earth. So much of our relationships and the love that exists in the world are conditional. But we can be reminded when we've made space that you are loved for who you are and just as you are. And then we sort of see that practice, right, of what worship does, of drawing us out of ourselves so that we can experience the transformation of grace in Jesus Christ. Like, wow. These reminders remind me again how much I need you every hour, Lord, how I need your grace, how I need your love, so that I can be transformed. And in response to that love that we experience, we can then be renewed and have right priorities and go and love one another well. Because I'm centered, because I remember who I am, I can lead the rest of my day, my week, whatever, from that place of knowing who I am in Christ first. Richard Rohr, who talks, I've quoted him quite a bit, but he talks pretty often of this practice of contemplative prayer. He says, we discover ourselves hidden with Christ in God. That's who we are, hidden with Christ in God. It's what happens in true prayer. It's when we expose ourselves to silence and stop exposing ourselves to the judgments of the world, when we stop continuously picking up the energy of others, when we stop thinking about what others think of us and what they take us to be. We are who we are in God, no more, no less. So that's kind of steps 1, 2, 3 right there summed up. We detach from what others think of us. We detach from what others are expecting of us. We and we find ourselves in the presence of God, who we are, no more and no less. That's hidden with Christ in God. For it is Christ who even makes this possible. He is our great high priest. He is the one who connects us to the Father. He is the one that says, hey, pray like this. I'm going to show you the way to my Father. He intercedes for us when we pray to God. We are hidden in Christ, hidden with Christ in God. And then the final sort of step that leads to this is that with these eyes, with this sort of place, we can see God at work right here and right now. When I've named these anxieties, when I've detached, when I've surrendered, when I've remembered who I am, then I can see and I can hear where God might be at work. I'll give maybe two examples. One's sort of silly. So This past Monday, I decided that, you know, again, it's not something I really had time for, but I thought I need a break. I was supposed to go on a four-day retreat with some other church planters to Phoenix. It got canceled due to COVID. The level of discouragement that I felt several months ago when it was canceled reminded me, made me realize, wow, I really needed that. I was really looking forward to it. So I decided to just block out a day. It was about 36 hours. It included a lot of sleep because I've got a five-month-old. And so I left the children at home for one night, and I slept, and I prayed. It was wonderful. But it was also hard in moments of sitting on the front porch of this cabin and feeling like I wasn't doing anything, right? That feeling of not doing anything. But I simply sat on a swing at this front porch. It was covered. You could just tell, you know, it's starting to look like it now. The clouds, it looked like fall. So it was a bright blue sky, but like a little bit dim, some dark clouds coming. It was crisp air that morning. It just smelled and felt like fall. The house I was staying in had nice pumpkins and mums. It's just very picturesque, right? And I sat there, and I sort of lost track of time. That's the gift. After sitting there or being there for a few hours, I had to retrain myself. It's okay to not check anything off a box right now, to just be. To be still and know that God is God and I am not. And I sat there. And I was scared by the antics of a squirrel behind me, right? And I could marvel at the creation and laugh and breathe. Just a little slice for 36 hours, right? We don't have the luxury of doing that. I haven't done that in a couple of years due to COVID. But allowing ourselves to sort of make space. So another morning I was sitting at my table sort of practicing contemplation, looking out my backyard, and there's this really sort of huge spider web. And it wasn't like a cool-looking one. It was actually a sort of nasty-looking one, like one that Kendall would come to my house and yell at me, like, you need to clean that off. That looks so gross. Because the spider had then created, like, you know, like the eggs, right? Yeah. And I just, like, watched it for, like, a week as I was, like, going in and out of the kitchen. Like, oh, it's still there. And then, like, that morning I was sitting there and my eyes were drawn to it again. I was like, that is really gross. Like, I should really do something about it. And again, like, you're supposed to be praying, Rachel. Why are you thinking about? But allowing yourself to sort of contemplate and look at creation and look at this is the silly one. But I noticed on that morning, because you're the silly one, I noticed on that morning that the eggs, like there were three, those like sack things. This is so gross. My husband's like, I'm knocking it down this afternoon. And I stopped him and I said, no, look, they've hatched. And you could look really closely and you could see the hundreds of tiny little baby spiders coming out. I'm a new mother again. I've got a three-year-old, a five-month-old, and I was like, I connected with this spider, you know? And I was having this moment. You're like, wow, she's super sleep deprived. I had this moment. And I just thought, look at the beauty of creating new life. Look at what God has done. Anyway, okay, but it's in the window, like in that inside, like it's really outside my house, but I can sit at my kitchen table and just look at it. As long as it stays out there, it can exist and be. And my husband comes downstairs and I said, look, Matt, look. And he's like, I'm getting the spray right now. And I said, no, I've had this moment. Please mother trying to be a mother in this harsh, harsh world. And he goes, you know that spider's probably going to die tonight. Like, not because I'm going to kill it, because that's what often happens with different types of spiders. Like, they lay their eggs, and then they're released, and then they... I was like, is that true, or are you just remembering? Isn't that Charlotte's Web or something? Like, I'm not so sure, but... You give yourself permission to practice prayer differently, and you can be surprised by how God shows up. On the front porch on a stormy day when it started to rain, or with a spider in your window. And this is like 15 minutes one morning, okay? 15 minutes. And I started the day with more joy and with laughter with my partner, which also reveals the love of God, right? Of not taking ourselves too seriously in this season. And it was a gift. If we set ourselves free from this idea that prayer has to look like one regimented particular way, and that you haven't done your due diligence, you haven't been a good enough Christian, if you don't do that, we can miss the beauty and peace of just dwelling in the presence of God. And then from that, we can move to maybe releasing those anxieties and worries and prayers that we have for healing and for needs and for the world. Our contemplation must move us to action. But sometimes we just jump to the action, and we forget to seek the presence of God first and how God might be speaking to us in a particular season, in a particular moment. One day it starts out with a spider. The next, my anxiety is about a really awful thing that's happened in the world. And I try to seek God in that moment. I might hear the voice of God calling me to action in a way I might have missed. Because if I jump to the action, it might be my own idea or my own will or my own I'm going to fix it mentality. I got to do something. But if we train ourselves in this idea of seeking God first in this contemplative mode, we can not only be led to action, but we can find peace and power and courage to do the hard thing because we're chasing the heart of God. We're finding ourselves hidden with Christ first. One more quote I'm going to share with you, and then I'm going to invite you to two opportunities to experience this. Richard Rohr says this again: the word prayer has often been trivialized by making it into a way of getting what you want. He says, I use prayer as the umbrella word for an interior journey or a practice that allows you to experience faith, hope, and love now in the presence of God. It's not a technique for getting things, a pious exercise that somehow makes God happy, or a requirement for entry into heaven. It is much more like practicing heaven now. That's the part I love. Gonna get a little nerdy. I love that part. Y'all know how much I love talking about the kingdom of God that we can experience now. Experiencing the peace that surpasses all understanding is not any more, any less than just experiencing the truth of the kingdom that Jesus Christ is Lord now, in the here and now. A peace that surpasses all the understanding, a peace that the world cannot give, because we are hidden with Christ in God, and we are already citizens of that kingdom. Now, the work that God is doing with God's love in the world is really just doing two things. It's seeking communion with God's people and unity in the power of the Spirit. That's what heaven is. And that's what God is calling us to in God's love, to experience communion and unity. And that's what the gift of prayer can offer you in the busy, in the chaos, in the here and now. A little slice of heaven. Of communion with God, of unity with the Spirit and with God's people, especially when we enter into prayer together. Two opportunities that we have coming up to experience. So you might wonder, like, okay, I actually need to, if you've never started with contemplation, you might think I need to sort of ease into that. And that's good. Start with 5 minutes, then 10, then, you know, whatever. Some you might need, you're like, this is totally not my rhythm or cup of tea. I'm a doer. I'm a little. So that's where the prayer walk might come in, right? Doing something with our bodies that can allow us to detach sort of our mind and thoughts so that we can notice things going on in the world around us, right? Using an app or using a song to enter into a place of silence and space. That's okay too. It doesn't have to just be like sitting there meditating in silence, right? If you need like an aid to help you clear your thoughts, music, a prayer app, Lectio 365. I'll text me if you need that. I love that prayer app. It sort of leads you in a process of contemplation every day. 10 minutes, like 9.5 minutes yesterday. That's okay to have those guides as well. But two sort of creative ways I want to invite you to experience prayer in the weeks to come is first, let's keep going. Here we go. Prayer walk today at Beckley Creek Park. I have created, sort of found some resources and created two resources that you can find where you find your renovation house group lesson plan. Okay, I'm going to have printed copies as well of the prayer walk this afternoon. But if you can't join us at noon and you'd like to go on your own and do it, I have a digital copy of the prayer walk. So if you go, it's on the app. It's also on the website. But if you go to the app and go to Connect and Serve and go to Renovation House Groups, it's not really underneath Reno Groups, but that's just the only place I know how to attach a file on our website. And so that's where I put it, okay? On our app and website, that's just where I know how to do it. I was very proud of myself, okay? You should. So go, find it, use it. Thank you. Go and find it. So there's two options, one for the prayer walk at Beckley Creek, and one that I've adapted from another resource that's a prayer walk for your neighborhood. So if you can't join us today, I hope you can. Maybe go back to the park on your own, or maybe do a prayer walk around your neighborhood. Notice where God is at work in your neighborhood. Pray for the people that you pass. After you've sort of entered in a place of silence and stillness and breathing through the anxieties, and then take a look. What do you see? What do you hear? What do you smell differently? Because you're being aware of it, right? Because you're paying attention to it. Those are two resources. They're on the website. It's also on the app if you download our Revolution Church app. The second opportunity is that Debbie Clark is going to lead a Bible Journaling 101. This is sort of different than contemplation, but it's another creative way to experience sort of scripture and prayer. If you're not sure what it is, if you'd like to learn more, or if you really enjoy doing it, Debbie would love to welcome you to that. It's open to all ages. There's going to be options for the kids. We're going to meet at the park, that gazebo on Hurstbourne Lane, and then in the warehouse if it rains or if it's too cold or not good weather. But that's coming up on Sunday, November 14th, so a few weeks away from now. Two unique opportunities that we sort of have in the works if you're interested in learning more about some creative ways to kind of break free. If the old rhythms aren't working for you, let's try something new and give yourself permission to do that. Sound good? All right, looking forward to the prayer walk. Find it, okay? Just open it and it made me feel better, okay? I'm going to like look up how often it's opened. No, I'm not going to do that. But all right, let's pray before we prepare to approach the table. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for who you are and for how, above all, you just desire to be with us. You love us so much that the best thing that you want to do is to draw us close to you and to your loving embrace, to set us free from all of the guilt and shame that this world puts on us, to set us free from the actions of our sinful lives at times, and just to give us hope and purpose and grace. God, we hear again the words of Jesus that say, "Come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest." And God, we give you thanks that there's not much we have to do per se. We can actually just sit and dwell and be in your presence, remember who we are, and find that rest. Find a peace that this world is just never going to give us. And so we thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ, who makes this possible, who serves as our high priest, who connects us to his Father. We ask, Lord, that you'd come and pour out your Holy Spirit on us again, that we may look forward to pockets of prayer and contemplation that we might have with you, and not just as something we ought to or should do, that we may experience what it is to be hidden with Christ, abiding in him, the true vine. We love you, Lord, and we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.